84 degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 4:07. Time for hour number two of the Jeremy Lawrence Show here at 590 WKZO. Of course, when we get into any discussion, I want to encourage you to give us a call or a text if you like. You can call us, be a part of the program at 382-4280. 877-382-4280 is the toll-free number. If you're not in the local area, you can give us a call that way. Or you can text us, 80373. If you just don't have time to wait on the line, you can go ahead and text us and be a part of the program that way. Just share your thoughts and text that particular number. Well, this particular portion of the program is brought to you by Weatherstone Village. They invite you to check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house. Happens this Saturday. And guess what? If you can't make it this Saturday, well, it also happens every Saturday, so it makes it easier. 10 until 2, mark it down and make a plan for it. Well, I'm glad you're here with us. Want to, and if you'd like to continue the discussion about the VA, feel free to do so. We will still keep the phone lines open for that. There's an awful lot going on with the resigning of Eric Shinseki. The president basically going, yeah, well, we're looking into it. Yeah, whatever. Squirrel. And then Jay Carney conveniently resigns on the same day as if to basically, I still say that it's the White House's version of squirrel. It's just to say, okay, Jay, now you can go.
Well, it's one of those conspiracy theories.
I don't know. I mean, it's I don't want to say that it's one of those ridiculous things because you knew he wanted to leave at some point. I've heard the rumors. And it seems for some reason press secretary at the White House is one of those jobs where the door revolves a lot. You know, you just don't have the same person that does it for 8 years, 7 years, 6 years, or whatever that is. I mean, it didn't even happen on the West Wing on television, you know. There is a bit of a revolving door there. Not as much as what would normally be. But that's what you see there. So, could be that he just wanted to go on an extended summer vacation. It could be that CNN has come along and gone, come on, political analyst, right here. Or, more appropriately, MSNBC. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, you know. Or, you know, heck, just to be different, Fox, why not? You know?
Yeah.
Get him on there and see what happens. But you know, those, all of this happening today, it's interesting timing and all that, and that's all I'll really say about it. If you want to continue the discussion, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 80373, you could text us and be a part of things as well. Now, I did want to shift gears a little bit, because a report has come out just in the last couple of days about right to work. Right to work has been pretty controversial in the state of Michigan. And there's been an awful lot of debate about whether it was the right thing to do or not. Well, for those people who would say right to work is horrible, it's awful, we shouldn't have it, you're not going to like to see the results of this particular report. Since 1990, nearly all of the top 10 states in terms of job growth are, yep, you guessed it, right-to-work states. Look down the list. Nevada, Utah, North Dakota, Arizona, Idaho, Texas. Those are the top states for job growth. The next two after that are Colorado and Montana. Those are not right-to-work states. But then look down the rest of this. I mean, it's astounding to see the number of right-to-work states that are doing better job growth-wise. Now, you're wondering, I'm sure, where Michigan is. Michigan is towards the bottom when it comes to job growth. And you're saying, aha, see, right-to-work hasn't been good. Right-to-work hasn't even really been enacted for, I mean, what, a year maybe?
A year, yeah.
You know, so can you measure that? Well, not so much. Not so much. But if you decide looking at this particular list of states when it comes to jobs growth, if you exclude Michigan and Indiana, who both passed right to work last year and the year before, that would mean 21 out of 25 states with the slowest employment growth are forced unionization states. Now, I find this curious because people on both sides of the debate would want to say this and probably would agree with it, that, you know what, we want jobs for our state. We want jobs growth. We want people working. We want to be able to have, you know, and it's for different reasons, of course. But the bottom line is everybody agrees on that. But for some, they're going to say, well, this right to work thing, it's horrible. Horrible. Not doing anything. Well, people in Nevada and Utah and North Dakota would beg to differ. Because jobs growth apparently is doing pretty well there. Now, the other part of the argument, too, is that right to work just passed in 2013. And our economy has been suspect. I think suspect is it. There were some people who said, oh, that's a strong word. No, I don't think it is. Because look at the kind of working environment we're in. I read an article that said 1 in 6 men of working age are actually working full-time jobs. Or not 1 in 6. I have to look up the article. I've got it here. But the point is, we've got labor participation that is at one of its lowest levels in the country. So we've got a problem when it comes to working. We need to look for solutions to be able to say, all right, what can we do to be able to get people working? And while I'm not looking at this and going, oh, right to work is the answer and the only answer, I'm not going to do that. But I've got to say, if you've got numbers that point in that direction, it might be worth looking towards it and saying, well, wait a minute. There might be something to that. There might be something there. Let's look into it a little bit more. Let's study this and honestly study it instead of let's look for holes in this so that we can put out articles about it. Because, you know, there are some people that would want to do that. They would say, oh, no, we got to do this. We've got to do this. Now, that's the thing. When you've got the idea, and I've always kind of felt like, you know, joining a union, and I understand unions have done good work over the years, but joining the union when you get a job should be your choice. Not, oh, you got a job, got to join, or you don't get the job. To me, that's not a choice. That's not giving you the opportunity to say, well, okay, I want to be a part of that. And in some cases, you want to be a part of the union. In some cases. In other cases, you want to make your choice. You want to be able to stand on your own and say, you know what? I believe that I can stand up for myself on this one. And I think with that, and there will be people that disagree with me. And if you agree or disagree, feel free to call in. So I'd love to hear from you. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. I think, you know, agree or disagree with me here, job growth is one thing we can say, yes, we want that. And I would challenge anybody to tell me you don't want that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want more jobs to have a prosperous economy? I don't know.
And I think with right to work, this gives unions the opportunity to prove to people, here's why you need to be a part of the union. Here's why. Here's what we're doing for you. Here are the things that make us indispensable to your career, to you, to your work environment. Here are the things that make us part of the deal. If you don't have us, you're not going to have a very good job. That's the kind of thing that in a right-to-work situation, I think unions get the opportunity to be able to point out their best points and say, all right, here's why you need us. You need us for this. You need us for this. You need us for that. Point them out. Make your case. And if you make your case well enough, people will go, okay, I'll buy in. Otherwise, you know, they need at least the freedom to be able to say, you know what? No, thanks, but no thanks. I'll stand on my own. And, you know, it's a choice. It's a choice that you need to be able to make. So I'd love to hear from you. 803-73 if you'd like to be a part of the discussion. If you don't have time to be on the phone lines, that's the way you text us, and you can share your ideas there. Also, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 is our toll-free number. If you're not in the local area, we'd love to hear from you that way. Let's head to the phone lines right now and chat with Jeff in Richland. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the program. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Jeremy. Beautiful day. All right. Well, I guess if somebody doesn't want to join a union, they don't want to pay union dues, then I guess they can go shopping for another job. You know, there's the benefits that have been fought for and paid by union membership are part of the one of the best things about belonging to a union. So, you know, I don't think that it's almost, it's basically what you're doing is you're getting something without paying for it. If you don't want to pay for the representation, if you don't agree with it, if it's that strong within your belief system, then, you know, go find someplace else to work.
So you would rather deny people jobs that they need to be able to live on if they don't believe in what the union stands for?
Well, like I say, if they don't believe in what the union stands for, I mean, before you go to work for a company, before you even apply, you're told that's a union job, and if you don't believe in what they stand for, then as far as I'm concerned, you really don't belong there because you're not part of the organization. That's basically, you know, union membership is just that. It's a membership, and you believe in what they're doing, and you know those people that. People to come before them and before you have fought for rights and, you know, benefits. You know, the 40-hour work week didn't exist before unions. And vacations and retirement and a lot of these other things, those aren't things that are given willingly by the employer. You know, the employers are forced to bargain. If they want to keep these good people working, then they're going to pay some of these benefits. If unions were to disappear off the face of the earth, we'd all be working for a bowl of rice and a fish head every day.
Well, here's the thing, Jeff. I don't think anybody's advocating let's get rid of unions. What I'm saying is, you know what? Unions, make your case. Make your case for why that, you know, why what you do is useful, and people would sign up on their own free will if they feel like that's worthwhile.
Yeah, but this is a systemic attack on unions that's been brought forth by the Republican Party. And the Koch brothers and all these other...
Oh, the Koch brothers. Oh, let's bring them in because they're easy to pound on. It seems like that's the regular thing that people on the left want to bring up whenever they want to beat on something. Honestly, all it is bringing a choice to people, giving them the opportunity to be able to say, look, yeah, I want to be a part of it, or no, I don't think I want to. I don't think that's bad.
I just don't believe that the people that don't want to pay for the rights and the privilege that they're given should be able to get a free ride.
Well, say what you will, Jeff. I guess we'll just have to disagree on it. Thanks for your call today.
We can do.
All right. Well, I appreciate Jeff. I'm glad that he keeps listening, definitely. Let's head on over to the phones here. Joy is standing by. Hi, Joy. Welcome to the program. Glad you're with us.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say that I have worked for non-union companies my whole life, and I have great benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's saying that you only get great benefits if you're part of a union, I completely disagree with.
Well, you know, and I can echo that as well. In jobs before, union has not been an issue for myself. And, you know, the benefits are there, certainly. One of the things that Jeff brought up as he spoke a little bit was talking about the 40-hour work week. Which, okay, I'll give you that one in like the 1920s or whatever, but,
right.
You know, we've had that for how many generations now?
Well, I would agree with you. I think there are possibly some benefits with unions, but I think some of it is just, it's dated. And again, I do not work for a union company, and we have flex time, which means we're not even working 40 hours a week. And I know a lot of people that have that. You know, close to 40 hours, but they're just giving us a little more, you know, a little benefit. So,
well, I think, Joy, it all comes down to the idea of having a choice, a personal choice to be able to say, you know, I want to be a part of a union or
right.
I don't want to be a part of a union. I don't want to take people away from unions. I just want to give to people the idea that they have the ability to make that choice themselves.
Because what if you really like your job? This fellow before said you're supposed to, you know, quit your job just because you don't want to join the union. I don't agree with that at all. If you, why should you quit your job just because you, or, you know, find another job just because you don't want to join the union?
Well, absolutely. Well, Joy, appreciate your time today. Thanks for your call. All right. Let's head on over and chat with Noah, who's standing by on the line. Hi, Noah. Happy Friday to you.
Hi, happy Friday. So I don't think games can work without forcing people to be committed if it's unionized, because kind of like what a previous caller said, people just, I think people are inherently selfish, and if they can get the same benefits without having to pay for it, that's what they're going to do, and I just don't think that they can really exist. And also, the stat, the report about the right-to-work states, it is so hard to look at one stat. I've talked to you before, I know you get a ton of callers, but it's so hard, but I've brought this up in the past, it's so hard to take a look at one stat and say, aha, there's a correlation here. Because what else is going on in those states? What sort of jobs are they? What is, like, the average salary wage in a right to work state versus one that's not a right to work state? You know, are the wages typically lower? Are some of these states like Texas, you know, taking part of the energy boom?
And that explains
a big chunk of it.
That's one of the reasons why I said when a stat like this comes out, you've got to really start digging in and say, well, all right, well, maybe there's something to this. And look at some of these numbers and look in various states. I mean, North Dakota is a great example. I mean, there's an awful lot of oil income there.
Exactly.
Incomes are extremely high there. So I don't know that you can even say, well, incomes are lower there. I'm not sure that's true based on that.
Well, no. I mean, yes, you're right there. But that also might explain some of the tremendous job growth that's going on there, because we're having such a boom in our energy sector right now that, of course, we're going to see huge job growth.
Well,
I'm just saying, like, Kenny Rice, you did point that out. I'm just saying that, like, I think people are very quick, and you weren't one of them. I'm just making the point that it's very easy, you know, it's very easy to be like, aha, you see better job growth in right-to-work states, therefore, right-to-work must mean that it causes better job growth. I just don't think that there's nearly enough information out there yet to actually prove that.
Okay. All right. Well, Noah, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right, and we continue the discussion with you. We're talking right to work. There's some numbers out there that say right to work looks good for job growth in most of the country. We're debating about it. We're talking about it. We're taking your phone calls, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 803-73 if you want to text us, as the Jeremy Lawrence Show continues on 590 WKZO. It's 85 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. And this portion of the Jeremy Lawrence Show is brought to you by Bronson. Bronson Positivity is the positive momentum driven by a constant pursuit of excellence. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com/quality. Jeremy Lawrence here with you on a Friday afternoon. I got just basically, let me tell you, you got another half hour or so, and then you have my permission to leave work and go home, unless, of course, your shift ends after that. Then, you know, I can't help you there.
Six.
But you know what? The weekend's coming regardless. So whenever it comes for you, heck, maybe it's already come and you're on the road. That's fine. I'm just glad you're here listening to us. We've been talking right to work, and a report's out indicating that since 1990, nearly all of the top 10 states for job growth are right to work states. Now, I bring this out to have the debate, have the discussion, and we've been doing that. as to, all right, is right to work the key here? Is it the answer? And there's been an awful lot of discussion both ways. People saying, you know what? Yeah, right to work, I could see the point. You know, having the right to make that choice to be a part of a union or not. And other people going, well, it's union job. And if you don't like the union, go work someplace else. So I'd love to get your thoughts on this. We are going to continue the discussion on this. 382-4280 is the local phone number. If you're outside the local area, you could still be a part of the discussion at 877-382-4280. And you can also text us at 80373. We'll get your comments that way as we continue ahead. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show, and it is 590 WKZO. Degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show. We've been talking about right to work. You know, I quoted that story, and I wanted to get back to that because I did get to that particular. This was part of the Senate Budget Committee looking about male participation in the labor force, and they said one in six American men between the ages of 25 and 54 are not working, period. So that was the, and I wanted to get to that because I mentioned it, wanted to make sure that I brought that out there because I need to be clear on that, and my apologies for not doing so. But getting back to what we were talking about with right to work, you know, because we know job growth is not where we'd like it to be. And we want it to be better. And we're talking about employment growth in terms of, you know, the states from a time in 1990 to 2014. Employment growth. Now, right-to-work states rank near the top. There are some that are towards the bottom of the list. Michigan is one of them, but they just enacted, you know, we just enacted 2013. So, you can't really tell if that's part of the result. Indiana is down towards the bottom. They've just enacted in 2012. Still, you need some time to let that take hold. But for the most part, looking at the bottom of the list, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Maine, Massachusetts, Missouri, those are all forced unionization states, and they are at the bottom of the barrel on this one. It makes me go, well, wait a minute, okay? All right, that's the bottom. And if you're just joining us, we went over this at the top of the list. Employment growth during that time period, Nevada, Utah, North Dakota, Arizona, Idaho, Texas. What do all those states have in common with one another? Right to work. Those are all right to work states. The first forced unionization states on there are Colorado and Montana. And you can understand Montana, I mean, they're getting a little bit of an oil boom there. Colorado, there's a lot of different things going on there. Lots of different growth things. It's a state that's growing. So you understand a lot of that. Now, I'm not going to say for one second that, all right, it's over with, right to work's the way it's got to be. But I will say this is intriguing to me. There's something that needs to be looked at a little bit differently here. Because if these states have right to work and they have all this job growth, then it just kind of makes you go, all right, well, let me think on that. Let me see some more numbers. And I think, you know, we did have a caller earlier who suggested, well, we need to make sure that we look at things and not just take this at face value. And that's not what we're doing here. But I think, you know, yeah, you do need some more numbers, but at the same time, I think you can look at it and say, Could be a correlation. Could be. Being the emphasis there. Now, there are some people who've called in and said, you know what? Right to work's killing us. It's killing us. This is, you know, opportunity doesn't come with that. And, you know, we heard somebody that said, well, this is just a opportunity for Republicans to kill off unions. Well, that's not what it is. You're simply offering people a choice to be able to say, all right, I want to be a part of a union, or you know what? I don't. And, you know, and I know there are disagreements with this. There are people that are screaming at the radio right now. And if you are, feel free to give us a call. I'd love to chat with you about it. 382-4280 and 877-382-4280 are our phone numbers. You can text us as well, 80373, and be a part of the program that way. If you don't have time to hang around on the phone, of course, we'd like to hear from you on the phone, but you can also text us. Now, I feel like that with any of these states where it's a right-to-work state, it gives unions, I think, an opportunity. And you may look at this and say, well, that's not an opportunity. No. So you're taking all these away. No. What I'm talking about is an opportunity to be able to sell yourself to workers, to be able to say, you know what, you're joining our company. We love our company, too. We care about it. And here are the benefits to being a part of our group. We're here to help you. Here's how we help you. Here's how we do it. We do this. We do this. We do that. These are the benefits of being on board with a union. Because if a union can do that and convince people that, you know what, that makes good sense, I'm going to be a part of the union, so be it. But at the same time, you got to respect to be able to say, all right, you know what, I don't really want to be a part of that. Okay, fair enough. That's fine. Because there are people that would rather have their fate in their own hands to be able to say, you know what, I work well. I think my work speaks for itself. And you know, I'll stand up for myself. Thanks. And I think we've got to respect that at the same time. Love to get your thoughts. 382-4280. If you're in the local area, toll free, it's 877-382-4280. Heading to the phones right now where we talk with Mike in Kalamazoo. Hi, Mike. Happy Friday.
Hey, how
to
you doing?
Go right
how
ahead.
How are you doing?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm not doing bad. You know, the right to work is cool. I mean, if it creates jobs, but for a union, just say if you were doing the carpenter work and you were making $12 and you happen to get in a union, you could jump to $21, $22 an hour. So I think the unions are really good.
Well, and that's fine. And I guess I'm just saying if they really are that great, they get the opportunity to sell themselves to people and say, all right, here's why we're so great.
I think I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, thanks for your call. And you can just kind of listen to my response on the air. I appreciate your call today. But really, you know, I think the thing that I've said, as I just said to Mike, you know, I really think it's an opportunity for the union to be able to say, all right, you know what? Here's why we're so great. And, you know, Mike brought that up, that, and maybe there is a difference in the way that you get wages at this or at that. So be it. But that's an opportunity for the union to be able to sell themselves and say, see, here's the benefit. Here's what we bring you. Here's something that we can bring you that you wouldn't be able to get on your own. And if you decide to join, great. And if you don't, well, we understand. We wish you well. And that's just the approach that I think you need to take in that case. Let's head back to the phones. Bill's on the line. Hi, Bill.
Hello. How are we doing?
Doing well.
Good. Our company was part of a union for years. It seemed like we were putting more money into it. We were getting back.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to drop the union. I can see why the unions were started years ago, probably thanks to Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Now what I see, I witness, the unions are just trying to save the lazy person. That's my comment.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thanks, Bill, for your call. All right. Head on over to Roger, standing by in Kalamazoo. Hi, Roger. Happy Friday to you.
Hey, Jeremy. I've worked for several unions over the course of the years, and the last union I worked for was United Steelworkers at Checker Motors in Kalamazoo, which is now defunct.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I found is while I was working there, I was so frustrated with the union in that they were actually promoting poor workmanship, shoddy, basically people not showing up for work when they should.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that was one of the things that led to the downfall of Checker Motors in particular. Now, I did a real short stint with the post office, and you have the right to either join the union or not join the union in the federal government workforce.
Mm-hmm.
I decided not to join the union because of the problems that I had when I was in private industry with union.
Sure.
And the union steward said to me, he says, well, you know, we do all these things for you. We basically negotiate your wages, which was a lie, especially at Congress. And he went down through this whole list of stuff. And finally, he says, well, you know, if you have a problem with your boss, we'll talk to your boss for you. And I go, no, if I have a problem with my boss, I'm going to talk to my boss myself. Now, when I left the post office, I had the union steward actually asking me how I was able to get along so well and do my job and not get hassled by the bosses. It was basically because I did my job. Mm-hmm. I showed up on time. I did my job. But one of the things I wanted to say with the unions and the right to work is that, yeah, unions in many places do help negotiate the wages. But at the same time, they've negotiated the wages and basically blackmailed these companies into a situation where they can't afford to have as many union workers, so they go and outsource the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, and this is the biggest problem I have with a lot of the unions, especially AFL-CIO, is that they basically support politicians that are helping to export our jobs overseas. They support politicians that basically take away our freedoms and basically end up reducing the workforce. So in reality, who is the union helping? Mm-hmm. I know that AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka, he said, being a union steward is not about representing the workers. It's actually about power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, power for what? Power for him or power for the workers? Because I don't see that it's actually benefited the workers overall. And the last point is that when you look at analyzing the work state, you have to look at, are they industrial-based states or are they agricultural-based states?
Sure.
Because the agricultural-based states are going to have a lower wage anyway.
Well, there's a lot more factors that go into it. Roger, I got to run. I got to break. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
It's 4:52. We are just 8 minutes away from the weekend. Okay, I'm not counting it down by the second for you, okay? So just stop asking. I'm not going to do that. It is 85 degrees, which means, you know what? It is a fantastic, fantastic day out there. So I hope that you are enjoying that. Interesting thing that's come up in the news, and I saw this the other day, and I didn't get the opportunity to talk with you about it, and I wanted to. Was that the GDP for the economy shrunk in the last quarter. And I saw that came out, and I went, really? Wow. This should be something that the media is all over. This should be something where the media is going, oh, no, recession is here. By definition, that could be headed that way. Here's what you get out of the media for this. CNN, U.S. economy shrinks, but it's not a big deal. Or how about NBC News? Blame old man winter. Economy contracts for the first time in 3 years. Now, here's the thing. I think with this, look at it this way. If Mitt Romney would have been elected in 2012, if he would have been president now, can you imagine what the media would have done with the economy doing what it's done? Can you imagine? But instead, the economy shrunk. What's going on? What else is happening? I mean, CNN coming out and saying, U.S. economy shrinks. Yeah, it's not a big deal. The whole thing bothers me from that perspective. You're not doing your homework if you're going to say, oh, it's no big deal. Okay. Well, you know, if our economy's not doing well, that is sort of a big deal, one would think. But according to the media, no, it's not a big deal. So I guess we don't have to look at it.
I guess it's not a big deal that we didn't create as many jobs or we didn't spend as much money to churn the economy.
No, and it's not a big deal that we've got all these people that are not participating in the labor force. No, that's no worries there.
No.
Nothing to see here. Move on. So this is the kind of media that we get out of this. it makes me, you know, I laugh, but it's sad at the same time that we don't look at this and say, all right, you know what? Let's look at this. Let's find out why the economy is so bad. If it's old man winter that people didn't do quite as much, okay, I get that. But guess what? People still had to spend money on getting snow out of places it hadn't normally fallen. So I don't know. I don't know that I buy it as well. 382-4280. We've got Chris standing by on the line. Hi, Chris. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you guys, too. Hey, on the bright side, there are more people who got to enjoy this beautiful day by their lack of participation in the labor force.
There you go.
That's positive.
Yeah, because it's not a big deal, of course.
Of course. You know, the stupid thing is it didn't take a lot of careful study to understand that this was going to happen. This had happened to us before in the Great Depression, and you know, we failed to call this depression, and you know, I'm not even sure what the economic definition of a depression is over a recession. But what we did in the Great Depression was continue to bounce along the bottom of the economy. You know, all of the economic indicators hit the bottom, then they came up a little bit, and they bounced to the bottom again. They come up a little bit for a little bit of time, and then they bounce off the bottom again. It's because there is no real economic growth at this point that's based on anything economic. It's all based on what the government's doing. Most of the growth that we see and have seen since the bottom of the market has been government spending. You know, it's stimulus. It's other programs that they've created off the baseline. You know, like they do baseline budgeting. So once they added $2 trillion in different spending programs called stimulus, now that becomes the baseline. So all this economic growth that we've seen is based on what the government spends and not based on, you know, you and I going out and spending the money the way we want to spend it. Or the way a company wants to spend, and they talk about all the money that the U.S. companies have that they're not spending. Well, there's a reason why they're not spending it. They're waiting to see what happens to the economy and what the government does to their businesses via regulations, whether it be energy or
healthcare,
healthcare, or you know, and any new, you know, whatever the people who advocate the government doing stuff for them come up with. And because of that, we don't have real growth. And here we go, negative growth. And like you said, if we have a second quarter, technically, of negative growth, that becomes a recession. And will the media, you know, the media was really quick to call an end to the recession, which, you know, anybody who's in the market knows that, you know, it wasn't the end of the recession. It was on paper the end of the recession. We had we had quarters of positive growth, but they weren't based on anything real.
Yeah, I mean, it was a jobless recovery, they kept saying. So
the a good book that I read, you know, in 2008 about this was called The Forgotten Man by Amity Schley, and it talked about how FDR. Well, it started out with Hoover and what Hoover did wrong. And then how FDR hired a bunch of what they called brain trusts, which were a bunch of professors that came in and said, well, this is how it should work. And everything they did got the opposite effect of what they were looking for. You know, they kept high unemployment. They kept, bankruptcies continued to plod along. Foreclosures were you know, kept on going the whole time. And it wasn't until we ended up in war that the economy mm-hmm. began to recover. And then there were other, you know, the government started to correct some of the decisions that it made. So
sure. Okay.
Tony Schley, Forgotten Man, read it, learn it.
Okay. It. All right. Chris, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that.
Yes.
All right. You know what? I pretty much, you know, there's not much else to add at this particular point. But I think the one thing that I conclude is I see headlines like this from media outlets. We need to demand more from our media than just, it's contracted. It's no big deal.
Yeah, let's cover both sides of the issues.
Let's find out what's happening.
Yeah.
And have the media dig in and present both sides. And then I'll come to a conclusion. Just a thought here.
Sounds good to me.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.